if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, delusions. I can't read today. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who will do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's all right. I'll wing it. As you can probably guess, we're going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I had this really great song that I wanted to play for you.
You
got
to sing it now.
Maybe later. And it's titled, "The Fruit of the Spirit is Not a Coconut." And it goes something like, "Fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. And if you want to be a fruit, then you might as well hear it. Because you can't be the fruit of the Spirit," something like that. And then it goes and it lists all, oh, it was so great. You guys would have loved it. But that's okay, though. But we're going to cover a couple different things here. We're going to talk about what are the fruits of the Spirit. And if we'd have heard the song, you'd have already known what the fruits of the Spirit are. But you'll just have to wait. It's like full of surprise and suspense. We're going to talk about why do we need the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about how do we grow fruits of the Spirit. So first, let's talk about what are the fruits of the Spirit. And to be efficient about this, I got to make this a little bit bigger. I'm getting old and I can't read like I used to be able to.
I will smack you.
I will take your glasses. I think the easiest way to talk about what are the fruits of the Spirit is going to be starting with what the fruit of the Spirit is not. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is not the works of the flesh. What we just read in Galatians lists what the fruits of the flesh are. And just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, how faith and fear want the same thing from you, you cannot have both the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in your life at the same time, because they want the same thing from you. They want the fruit that you produce. The works of the flesh are the things that human beings naturally gravitate towards that are contrary to God's design for us. They're the evil, the wicked things, the things that just naturally come, right? Nobody had to teach my daughter how to throw a fit in the back of the church, but she figured out how to do it on her own, right? We don't have to teach, you know, kids how to say a little white lie to try to cover up. We don't have to teach kids how to steal a cookie out of the cookie jar. They're just naturally going to want to do that. But specifically, the fruits of the flesh, Galatians specifies that they are evident. You're going to know it when you see it. Things like sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, and all these different things. You'll know it when you see it. And some of them are given. Things like idolatry and sorcery. It's pretty easy to spot out idolatry. If someone is bowing down and worshiping a golden calf, that's pretty easy to spot, right? If someone is choosing to watch the Browns game and not go to church on Sunday morning, it's pretty easy to spot that you've just placed an idol in your life. Same thing with sorcery. If I'm walking around like Harry Potter flinging fireballs out of a magic wand, that's pretty easy to spot, right? But other things are not so easy to spot in our lives, and if we're not careful, they can build up and grab a foothold. Things like jealousy and fits of anger. How many has ever been jealous of something, right? One person, right? Everybody has been jealous of something in their life. And envy, jealousy and envy kind of go together. Fits of anger. Has anyone just gotten just really angry at someone and you just lashed out? or saying never, right? I've never yelled at a guy who works for me for doing something dumb on a tow motor and spilling 330 gallons of liquid all over the dock. Never has that happened to me in my life. Dissensions, starting arguments just for argument's sake, and my wife walked out the building, but sometimes you just want to pick a fight with people, right? These are all things that if we're not careful, and if we're not paying attention to it, and if we allow our flesh to control the fruits of our lives, these are things that will start just to take hold. And next thing you know, it's like a snowball rolling down the mountain, right? Next thing you know, you're picking up more, you're picking up more, you're picking up more until you hit the bottom, and then the whole thing just goes all over the place. See, these fruits of the flesh, these are the things that without the Holy Spirit's guidance in us will consume our lives. But there is good news for us in all of this. And we're going to go a little bit Old Testament if you do switch to Ezekiel 36:25. We'll read from there. Ezekiel 36:25-27 says, this is a prophecy of Jesus coming, right? It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You see, we don't have to do bad all by ourselves. As prophesied in Ezekiel here, if we accept Jesus as Lord of our lives, we will be given the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us along our way. And for those of us who are Christians, and for those of us who have accepted Christ as Lord, we've been given the Holy Spirit, which if we allow it to, will enter our hearts and allow us to begin to conform to the image of Christ. It says in the last line there of Ezekiel that we read, and it will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You see, if we allow the Holy Spirit will come beside us and guide us and make it possible to follow the rules, the laws of God. And ultimately, by doing so, we will start to see those fruits of the flesh start to transform into the fruits of the Spirit. You see, the fruits of the Spirit are the traits that a Christian should be developing as proof as the Holy Spirit's presence in their life. Just like we plant an apple tree. If that apple tree doesn't grow apples, something's probably wrong there. It's not getting enough water. It's not getting enough sunlight. There could be diseases or parasites or something infecting that tree. The Holy Spirit plants a seed in us, and the fruits that we produce from that are the direct result of the Holy Spirit feeding us and watering us, and fertilizing us as we live through our life. These are the traits found in Galatians that as Christians should define our lives. We start with love. What is love? Don't hurt me. See, it's so interesting when you say what is love, the different answers you get. I have even go with don't hurt me. And we get some got to do. But love is the power that moves us to respond to another's needs without expectation of a reward. Right? Is that a fair definition? Moving on, we have joy, the inward hope, and exuberance despite outward circumstances. You see, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is in the moment, right? I can be really, really happy that I just won the lottery and got $1 million. I think we would all be really happy in that moment until we go and we all blow it on stupid stuff, and next thing you know, we're broke again. But joy is this inward exuberance that has nothing to do with what's going on. You see, you can be dirt poor and broke and still be joyful in your life because joy is an everlasting feeling where happiness is just in the moment. Moving on, we have peace. Peace is a supernatural calm amid chaos and the ability to bring calm to divided groups. So if we're peaceful, no matter what is going on around us, it can be absolute chaos. I have a toddler in my house. There's absolute chaos going on all around me, but somehow you have to do some usas and calm down and find that inner peace, right? We have kindness, and kindness is, well, it's being kind, right? It's being not mean. We have goodness. Goodness is moral excellence. We conduct ourselves right. We do the right thing when no one's watching. We do the right thing no matter what it is. We have faithfulness. It's enduring loyalty. Just like we talked about 2 weeks ago, our faith. We need long faith, right? We have gentleness, being the power to control reactions to difficult people and situations. I'm going to go back to that toddler at home. And we have self-control, the ability to restrain from inappropriate passions and appetites. I like to think of this as the intrusive thoughts. Has anyone seen like the intrusive thought memes going on TikTok? Where something like pops in your head, like you're sitting there with eating soup and your daughter's there and you just want to wing one of those oyster crackers out of head. That's an intrusive thought, right? But if we have self-control, we don't give in to those intrusive thoughts. And if you're asking, I don't have very good self-control because that moment was hilarious. You see, these fruits of the Spirit are the direct result of what we are feeding ourselves with. Have you ever heard someone say the phrase, you are what you eat? Right? What does this mean? It means that if we put good food in us, we get good energy out, right? But if I keep putting bad food in, sugars and carbs and all the other delicious stuff in life, I'm not going to be energized, right? You see, just like what we feed our bodies and how our bodies are able to transform it into to energy, the fruit that we produce is a direct result of what we allow to control our lives, either our flesh or the Holy Spirit living inside of us. You see, if we continue to let our sinful flesh drive our nature, we will produce fruit that is sour and rotten and not fit to consume, like a crab apple in the backyard. Has anyone ever tried a crab apple before? It doesn't taste very good, right? You want to just spit it right back out. But if we surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him drive our actions and let Him drive our thoughts and continue to feed that in us, we will produce sweet, delicious fruit that's ripe for consumption. At Aldi, they sell these apples called Cosmic Crisp apples. Has anyone ever had one of them? Oh, them are some good apples. If we let the Holy Spirit in our lives and give over control to Him and allow us to Him to guide us and conform us to the image of Christ, you're not going to be growing crab apples. You're going to be growing those Cosmic Crisp apples. And you can dip them in peanut butter. How about that? See, here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. The fruit of the Spirit, ultimately, it's not for us. It's for others, right? You don't see a fruit tree getting to enjoy its own fruit. Just like us, the fruit that we produce isn't primarily for us. It's for those around us. We should be producing Christ-like fruit in our lives that will draw others to Christ. I'm going to say that again. We should be producing Christ-like fruit that draws others towards Him. Others should see the joy, the love, the peace, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control in our lives and say, give me some of that. That fruit looks delicious. I want to take a bite of that Cosmic Crisp apple. But there's only one way that we can get there. We have to kill the flesh in our lives. We can't let the flesh continue to control our actions, to be that little voice inside of our head saying, that's all right, keep doing it. You're fine, you're fine. You see, if I continue eating the delicious bread that Becky breaks in the lobby, my belly will grow. And if I continue to feed my flesh the sour fruit that is the things that the flesh wants, my flesh will continue to grow. that sinful nature will continue to grow, and I will not be producing ripe spiritual fruit. If you flip in your Bible to Matthew 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, 33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart of the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his treasure brings forth evil. You see, two things we got to pick up on there. One, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If my heart is cold and black, what's going to come out of my mouth is negative things. If my heart is warm and full of Christ, what's going to come out of my mouth is exactly what I've been talking about, the fruit of the Spirit, joyful things, happy things. It's going to be good things coming out of my mouth. And also, we got to realize that we will be known by the kind of fruit that we create. You don't look at an apple tree and say, oh look, there's apples on that tree. It must be a banana tree. The tree is known by the fruit that it makes. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Last weekend, I think it was, my wife and I, we were finally able to go out on a little date night. We had Barrio Tacos. That has nothing to do with the sermon, but I love me some Barrio Tacos. And we went to the movies, and we saw The Blind. The Blind is a movie based off of Phil Robinson. Everyone know who that is? The Duck Call guy? He was on the Duck Call show, Duck Dynasty. And there's a story that's portrayed in that movie that I've heard on his podcast, and I've heard him speak multiple times. Just to set it up, Phil was not always a godly man. When the kids were young, he was an alcoholic, abusive. He would disappear for days on end in the woods doing who knows what, feeding that flesh, right? And eventually, he came to the Lord. He got baptized and everything else. And after he's baptized, there's a scene in the movie where all of his old friends that he used to run around with and party, they come to him and they find him and they say, Phil, come on, man, let's go. Let's go hit the woods. Let's go shoot the gun. Let's go drink the beer. Let's go do all the things. And Phil's response to him, he looks at him and he says, the Phil Robinson that you're looking for is dead. And you're talking to the new me. You see, that's such a critical moment in his testimony and in his life, because if he would have continued to go, he would have been feeding that flesh. But he realized in that moment that the old Phil, when he was baptized, I love the imagery and the symbolism of a submersion baptism, where you're going under the water and you're dying to your flesh. The water represents a tomb, right? You're putting your flesh to death, and when you come up, you're washed clean. You're a new creation in Christ, right? He realizes that he's a new creation in Christ. He could not continue living in the ways that the dead man lived and still be able to do what he was called to do by the Lord. He realized that you're either in or you're out. There was no in between. Jesus said that if you're a lukewarm Christian, he'd rather you be a cold Christian. Because has anyone taken a drink of lukewarm water before? It's gross, right? It's nasty. Jesus said that if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you right back out. He's not going to take you in. But here's the good news. I ain't got no music or anything. That's okay. Jesus was killed for your sins. I'm just going to put it very blunt and very simple like that. Not only was he killed for your sin, but he was also resurrected on that third day and can be the Lord of your life. You see, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave can live in us and produce this wonderful fruit in our lives if you would only let him. So this is what I want to do. I'm going to figure out a way to play some music real quick. I want to open up this altar. And if your fruit tree, if your spiritual fruit tree needs a little bit of miracle grow, this is the place to get it. Pastor Chaz is a wonderful guitarist, by the way, if you did not know. So you're in for an absolute treat. I got picks on the stand there. If your spiritual fruit tree just needs a little bit of miracle grow, this is the place that we can get it. And if you're sitting here and you don't know who this guy Jesus I'm talking about is, this man who came and died for our sins so that we could have eternal life, I want to open this altar up to you as well. You see, Jesus is the living water. The water that if we draw from, we're no longer going to be thirsty. And this altar right here, an altar is a meeting point between heaven and earth. And this is the place where you can get a drink. So what we'll do here is I'll pray to close this out. And I just want to encourage you, if you need just that little bit of extra, that little bit of extra Jesus in your life, please don't let this moment pass by. Please don't let this moment pass by. So Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came and died for our sins and was rose again on the third day so that he could forever be the Lord of our lives. And God, we just pray that the Holy Spirit just comes and enters our hearts that we can continue to produce spiritual fruit, God. Lord, help us put to death the old men and women that we were and continue to walk in the new creation that we are in your light, God. Lord, we lift you up, we praise you, we love you. We pray all these things in your Son Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us. I know it's a little bit backwards today. At this time, we will go ahead and dismiss. Parents, don't forget to pick up your kiddos. You can wait another 5 or 10 minutes. It's okay. We won't tell. We won't tell Miss Jen or my mom back there with them. But please, 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 this altar is open. If you would like prayer, if you would like to know Jesus as your Lord, please come forward. There's plenty of people here who would love to pray with you. If not, that's all right. We're dismissed at this time. If you're online, thanks for watching, and we'll see everyone next week. Thank you. Thank you.